Now he didn't have to bless me, but he did. No, he didn't have to bless me, but he did. Oh, he woke me up this morning, started me on my way. No, he didn't have to bless me, but he did. Oh, he didn't have to bless me, but he did. No, he didn't have to bless me, but he did. But he woke me up this morning, started me on my way. No, he didn't have to bless me, but he did. And he didn't have to fill me, but he did. No, he didn't have to fill me, but he did. Woke me up this morning, started me on my way. No, he didn't have to fill me, but he did. And he didn't have to heal me, but he did. No, he didn't have to heal me, but he did. But he woke me up this morning, started me on my way. No, he didn't have to heal me, but he did. But he did. He didn't have to bless me, but he did. Oh, he woke me up this morning, started me on my way. He didn't have to bless me, but he did. No, he didn't have to fill me, but he did. Up this morning, started me on my way. He didn't have to feel me, but he did. Oh, he didn't have to heal me, but he did. He didn't have to heal me, but he did. Well, he woke me up this morning, started me on my way. He didn't have to heal me, but he did. Oh, he didn't have to bless me, but he did. Bless me, but he did. No, he didn't have to fill me, but he did. He didn't have to fill me, but he did. He woke me up this morning, started me on my way. He didn't have to fill me, but he did. No, he didn't have to heal me, but he did. He didn't have to heal me, but he did. Woke me up this morning, started me on my way. He didn't have to heal me, but he did. He didn't have to bless me, but he did. No, he didn't have to bless me, but he did. He woke me up this morning, started me on my way. He didn't have to bless me, but he did. No, he didn't have to fill me, but he did. He didn't have to fill me, but he did. He woke me up this morning, started me on my way. He didn't have to fill me, but he did. No, he didn't have to heal me, but he did.
Oh, he didn't have to heal me, but he did. That he woke me up this morning.
Me, but he did. He didn't have to bless me, but he did. He woke me up this morning, started me on my way. He didn't have to bless me, but he did. No, he didn't have to bless me, but he did. He didn't have to bless me, but he did. He woke me up this morning, started me on my way. He didn't have to bless me, but he did.
didn't have to bless us, but he did. Hallelujah. I'm glad he did. You taking inventory lately? Count your blessings, someone said. And I've got many of them, more than I could take the entire service telling the Lord has blessed me my life, and we'd have to keep dinner hot down there for a while. Because I've got many blessings that the Lord's given me, and I'm so thankful for it. I'm glad we were so blessed with having our visitors today. Brother Goss from Keswick, Ontario is here. Canadian, eh? We're glad he's here. And Ann, where are you hanging your hat, Brother Harden, right now? Where's home? Where's home right now? Detroit? So not too far. From Detroit, Michigan area, brother Clarence Harden, and he was here Wednesday night. We're glad to have him back this weekend. I know they've got many things they could share with us, and we know that in this body, our ministry is taught to be led of the Lord, and to get up and give what the Lord is impressing on them. They don't have canned messages that they've got to, you know. I didn't pass out a program when you came into the door today that titled a message from either one of these men or anybody else that may speak, or the list of the songs we were going to sing, but to be spirit led where the Lord can talk to us today. We can let the Lord speak through us and to encourage one another. That's how I know it's of the Lord, if it lifts the congregation and blesses the hearts of the people. And we've got another visitor today right here in town, Phyllis Davenport. We're glad she drove by. She wanted to come visit us. I'm glad you came by and seen us. And want you to make yourself at home, and can come visit us again. We'll be having today's regular dinner day, right? Is that right? We'll be having dinner today. Want all of our guests to stay and have dinner with us, and we got some fantastic cooks, Southern cooks. If you like the good Southern gourmet, it's probably some French dish wrap down there. I don't know. Said all that. What are we having today? Chicken Parmesan, Southern style. I'll guarantee it'll be good. But as you can tell by looking at me, I'm not picky. And that, you know, that's part of the serving God. You know, that may sound silly to y'all, but it is. If you read the New Testament, they got together and they ate. They didn't only broke up the spiritual food, they broke up the natural food. And shared the good things of God in one another's homes. Usually had a meal prepared. So we like to prepare a meal. And I'm here all day Saturday. I get here 9:30 in the morning and I don't go home till... I'm all here all day Sunday. I get here in the morning, I don't go home till the service is over at night because it's too far of a drive. But I'm glad to be here. I'm glad I've got one day set aside of the week that I can totally be with God's people and worship and hearing the good things of God. Appreciated the Bible this morning, talking about peace. We know two things, and He is the Prince of Peace, the Bible says. His kingdom should be full of peace. And His subjects should be peaceable people. As He said, blessed are the peacemakers, Should be called the sons of God. That was one of the first Beatitudes I learned. I got in a fight in the fifth grade, and I had a good godly teacher, and she made me write that scripture. I bet 1,000 times, blessed are the peacemakers. They should be called the sons of God. They would get in trouble for doing that. That was in a public school. Yeah, I didn't get any more fights that year. Had writer's cramp. Well, but to live at peace, he come to give us peace. Peace be unto you, he said. How's the rest of that go? He said, peace be unto you. Not as the world giveth peace, but that I give unto you. He giveth peace that passeth all understanding. That's when you can become completely reconciled to him, and you're walking in the newness of him, you're going to be at peace. Even when it's hard on the flesh, the outer man, there'll be a peace that resonates inside you. So this is right. This is right. Laying down my will, it's crossing me one way, but in one way it's liberating me. He came to give the captives free, set the captives free. And I'm glad that I'm being set free today. There's times I realize my freedom. There's times I let my imagination and my heart become captivated by the weak and beggarly elements. But all it takes is just a touch, just a tiny drop of the touch of the Spirit of God, and boom, the shackles fall. I'm set free again. And that's but he doesn't want us just to always get bound, be set free. He wants us to remain free in him. You know, and then when you're set free, you're set free from fear. Fear will captivate you. There's all kinds of fears. Worry and doubt and fear. But he wants us to trust and fully rely on him. He doesn't want us to be anxious. Worry for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. He doesn't want us to be anxious because he wants us to trust him. He's taking care of us. Well, that's hard to do sometimes. We don't want to relinquish control or give up the reins. But you know, the Lord has a process to take us through that will release us of all that fear. We have to yield to it. I'm looking for the words of that song by Phil Kerr. It's an old song. I'm his to command where he leads me. Beautiful song. There was a brother amongst us that used to sing it when I was a young man. He'd come to a few meetings. I think he was from Redwood City, California. Brother Anthony Corelli, and they'd get him up. He'd sing, "I'm his. I'm his to command."
Remember him singing that?
Beautiful song. I've been looking all. If so, anybody finds that song, I'm looking for it. I've looked all over the internet and everything. The writer's Phil Kerr, but to walk after the ways of God, well, we can kind of, I could draw you an outline, say do this, do this, and do this, and do this, but it's a step of faith that the Lord's going to have to lead you. All the ministry we can do is keep pointing you to Christ, keep telling you how to listen to him, how to hear the voice of the Lord. We really can't tell you just exactly how to do it, in so much as we can, our pastor, the ministry, the leadership, I said, this is how you hear from the Lord. So we're going to give them an opportunity to do that today. Because it's a journey. This is a journey that the the Lord has taken us on. And then when we finally end that journey, we can say, like Paul said, he said, "I fought the good fight. I finished the race." And see, henceforth is laid up a crown of righteousness for me. So I want to encourage you to listen. What is the Spirit saying to your heart today? What is the Spirit saying to the church today? Some people may have, you know, one of the things as I go through this life is a struggle. We have many things that come upon us. As soon as you get through one thing, you're facing another thing. And then for you young people, all the problems you have now are just going to be transferred. You're going to have other problems. You know, you think, "Oh man, I got a test Monday," or "I'll never be 16. I'm never going to turn 18. I'm never going to get married." Well, then I'll never get my bills paid. I'm never going to get this house fixed. My car's never going to get it fixed. It's just one, it's life is a struggle. And it wears down on you from time to time. So I know the Lord is mindful of all your needs. Some of us have natural needs. The natural can wear on this, on your, stress you out if you let it. You have to ask the Lord to deliver from. Then there's spiritual needs. There's emotional needs. And everyone here has a need of some sort today. Do you believe the Lord can touch you today and meet your need? Say, "I believe." I believe the Lord can meet my need. Can you say that? Hallelujah. Just reach out in faith today and hold on to that and believe that the Lord can meet your need, and He will meet your need. He said, if you ask of your natural father for a fish, would he give you a serpent? And if you ask for bread, would he give you a stone? He said, our Father in heaven, how does he say that, is much greater than that. He'll meet your needs. He'll meet your needs. Just call out to Him. Not just something to consume upon your flesh, like James said, but a real need in your heart, that your heart could be changed. He's here for us today. He's here for us. He can give you that peace to resonate. No matter what your situation is, He can say, "Hey, you know, I'm not going to get that bill paid for you. That's a little burden I'm putting on you, a test, a trial." Sometimes the Lord put a trial on you. Sometimes you put them on yourself. Financially, sometimes the Lord, you know it's the Lord putting you through it. And sometimes you put it on yourself. You buy things you don't need, can't afford. Those are the kind of trials. Sometimes the Lord lets you struggle through it. Sometimes He'll put you through it, or a need in health. But He can give you a peace. That's the point. He can give you that peace to go through it, that measure of grace. That's what He told Paul. "Why do I have this thorn in my flesh, Lord? I want it removed." How many times did He say He sought Him for it? Three times. And there's been debates on what all that thorn in the flesh was. But it was an affliction of some sort that He was not getting any peace. It was disturbing the peace that Paul had. I believe what the Lord said can be, well, the Lord told him, "So my grace is sufficient for thee." Now, I've heard that, and it could be this way, that Paul got a revelation that the great gospel of peace and grace and salvation was just, it was sufficient that no matter what he'd go through, that he would have peace. I tend to believe that it was more on this wise, that Paul, I've put this in your life, and it's part of my grace. It's something I place in your life to transform your life. Now, it's part of my grace, and it's sufficient. It's for you. Paul, when Paul realized that, he said, "Oh God, how could I question you?" And he had peace right then on that matter. So I know the Lord could give us peace today. He can meet your need, but He can meet this need right here. This need right here. Hallelujah. Let's go to prayer today and receive our offering. Pray for Brother Smith. He was very, very, very sick coming back from the Dominican Republic. I don't know when it hit him. It hit him yesterday, Brother Mark, or did it hit him out for you the day before y'all left? Or? On the plane? Atlanta. Real high fever and chills and weak. They had to kind of wheel him off the plane, didn't they? A week, and so, but he got back, and he just, Mama put him to bed, and she's home taking care of him. So let's pray for our pastor, Brother Smith. Lord, touch him today. Yes, Brother and Sister Crow are here, and we're glad that they're here today. Sister Rice is here today. That had her. Praise God. Sister. You're remembering the Ratliff family. God is dealing with their hearts. So let's keep praying for them. Brother DJ. Pray for Brother DJ on his test and his grandparents. Okay. Brother Wallace's illness has kept them from being with us much service, so let's pray for them. Lisa's friend's aunt has cancer, sister. Keep praying for Brother McGowan and an unspoken request that they have. What's that? What is Sister Davenport regarding? Okay. Brother Weaver. Brother Paul's still sick with allergies. Okay. Sister Abraham. Sister Abraham's family and an unspoken request. Sister Crow. Pray for Brother Crow. Yes. His legs hurt to stand, it's hard for him to get around, so we really need to pray for him. Brother DJ again. Okay, Sister Natalie. Brother Tyrone. Angie. She's not here with us, and she's down in her back. If you ever had back pain, you know what that's like. Sister Sandra. Scott and Joshua. Okay, let's all stand, and the ushers can come down front. Heavenly Father, hallelujah. We come to you today, Lord. And with thanksgiving, hallelujah. We give you thanks for all the wonderful blessings and for your grace and your plan to save us, oh God. Redeem us. Lord, we have many needs here amongst our assembly, Lord. Many physical, Lord, and spiritual needs. And everyone that was called out here today, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to meet each and every need, Lord.
according to your will and purpose. Hallelujah. That each heart would be touched. Each need would be met. And peace would be given to all your children, oh God. Oh God, open your hearts, Lord. Let them see, Lord, that you want to help them give them peace in our lives. Oh Lord, I give you thanks. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your wonderful name. Praise your wonderful name.
course, we can use liberty a little wrong, can't we? But thank God for the liberty. I'm glad to be here today for many reasons. But I'm thankful to be among God's people and glad to be here and feel the wonderful Spirit. When enjoying that song, we're blessed. When one thing I appreciate about the body of Christ, that they sing a song over and over and over again. Not very many places you can go to where they do that, where God has led them to have the song sung over and over. And God gives us a song, and God gives us something like that. Of course, a song to us when God deals with somebody and they give us a song, we're blessed just to be able to sing that and feel the Spirit that God gave that song in. And there's something about singing a song over and over again that's precious and it's wonderful. Your mind can wonder and think while you're singing the song because you know it. You've got it memorized. You just sing it from your heart and you're blessed. And you just go off in the Spirit and you let the Spirit just take over. And then you start thinking about the many blessings that you have. For example, I'm blessed to be here among a people that has shown me a lot, that has given me a lot, and I know it's more blessed to give, so you're blessed. And but of course, it's also, you have to learn how to receive. Before I came to this body, I was not able to receive. But you have to be able to receive too. I remember first when I came to the body, I learned so much and wanted so much, wanted to know all the doctrines, wanted to know the truth, because the Lord brought me to the truth through a people, through Haiti. Went to Haiti and God opened my eyes to the body of Christ. And I wanted to know more. Got in contact with Brother Strite out in Montana. And what amazed me, Brother Durham, was the fact that he was trying to find a way to get me out there. Because I really wanted to know more about what was said to me. I wanted to find a little bit more, and I didn't understand some things about it. And he was saying, you know, Brother Gossip, check the airlines, and he said, they're too expensive. Right now, he said, but he says, maybe, you know, let's pray about it. I said, brother, he says, I don't intend for you to pay by fare. I mean, that overwhelmed me. I couldn't understand that. I couldn't comprehend that. Well, anyway, what really happened was my son and my nephew, they were ministers in the church at the time, and we started driving, and we didn't stop until we arrived in Montana. And we drove and we drove and we drove. Thank God for a car. So we drove until we got there. Knocked on his door about 8:30 in the morning and said, we're ready. We were tired, but we were young. And so I said, I want to learn. He said, well, he wasn't even out of bed, I don't think. I hope he's not listening to this. But he was. I mean, that's the way it is with ministers, you know. Pastors, they just might have some late nights for many reasons. So he said, well, let's go out for breakfast. We went out for breakfast and we talked and we talked and we talked and we ate it up. And for 10 days, night and day, I made tapes and we talked, asked lots of questions. Well, I'll tell you, the highlight of that whole thing, even though I was learning a lot and I was blessed, was the fact that God, I mean, my son came with me, and I remember everybody was falling all over the place. What happened was, you know, the service was going on. You know how some services will go. You wonder what's going to happen. And then I happened to, because I wasn't really hardly in the body. I just didn't know how they operated. And I said to Brother Strite, can I get up and say something? And I was up about 10 or 15 minutes, and the place went wild. I mean, the Spirit of God came down, and we were falling all over the place. This here guy over in my right side, he started buckling up and laughing, and I mean, he just, the place went really wild. Anyway, we were finally led into the dining room because everything cracked up. And so as we were sitting down to eat, and people couldn't hardly even get their food, my son says, how does this happen, Dad? He says, how does this work? I said, well, son, it's like this. And I cracked up. I mean, I couldn't even tell him. And then the Spirit of God came over him. And, oh, glory. It went on for hours out in the street. We were out there falling all over the place. Well, anyway, God really blessed. Now, I didn't know how to receive at that time. And Brother Strite discerned it, Brother Durham. You're talking about discernment. He discerned that I just couldn't receive. At that time, I was able to look after myself, and, you know, God blessed me that way. And so here was a church that I felt, you know, that I need to give them an offering. But, and then at the end of the service, as we were about to leave, he said to the people, well, it takes a lot of money to drive all the way out here, so we need to bless Brother Goss. I nearly fell over just to hear that. Well, I didn't receive anything. And then about 200 miles away, he told the two brethren, he says, when on your way, you start asking Brother Goss some questions. And then he says he'll have to open up his Bible. And when I opened up my Bible, here was $200, American dollars, sitting in my Bible. See, I couldn't receive. But then some people don't even know how to give. You know, they really don't. But thank God we're in the body. I appreciate being here. I appreciate Brother Hardin. I remember the first time I met Brother Hardin. He was in Canada. He just told me today, he says, I says, Brother, it seems like every time I want to meet you, I got to come to Little Rock. And I says, you know, I said, we'd love to have you in Canada sometime. He says, well, I can't get a passport. But of course, you know, there is things that you cannot do, right? Just like Brother Durham said regarding the rich man. Well, who can be saved? The Lord says, God can do it, right? You can't. It's impossible for man. That's why we are so blessed to know that God is doing something special in our life, and we have a revelation, and we have a vision, and we have light to see further out in such a way that we know that God is doing something in our life that's really just something different, something special, that we can sing that song and say, Lord, We're blessed. And we're not thinking about our car, even though that's important. Even that lawnmower you were talking about, that was important. But God used that to let us know how he can join us and knit us together in love, where we can, when I turned around there, could you hear me back there? Huh? Do you have a mic? Because I turn around a lot sometimes. I'm going to maybe get a little more relaxed this morning because Brother Hardin said, Brother Goss, you just take your liberty, take your time, don't worry about me, because Brother Hardin has got the gift of the gab. Brother Hardin is so excited about for what he's found. He just wants, so He just can't stop talking.
How's that?
Yeah, that's wonderful. Perfect. Brother Hardin. I remember the first time him and Brother Adam came. We were just new in the body. In fact, I think I came to the body before you people did. And we got on the subject. And, you know, at that time when I came to the body, I didn't have a wrong spirit, brother, but I just didn't understand. Anyone that didn't believe the devil the same as me, I really wasn't that enthused about going to their church. I didn't mind it so much, but the fact was I'd like to know where they stood as far as their doctrine was concerned, especially on the devil. And so I was invited at different times there at that time, and, you know, I'd say, well, how do they believe the devil? And, you know, I'd ask Brother Streit that. And if they believed the devil like me, I felt like I had a lot of liberty to preach the gospel. But I felt like I was restrained some way, you know, but we got into discussion on the devil. And at that time, I don't think you believed the same way as I believe, whatever that was. So of course we got in good discussions, but we kept the good spirit. And it was good. We got blessed. But one thing about them, they wanted to know the truth. And that's what I like about you. You want to know the truth. We can get into a place where we're so complacent, we're so satisfied with what we have, we just don't want to move ahead. We know that that's a religious spirit. But they got them all out there. They got all these bundles sitting out there. One bundle is satisfied with what they have. The next bundle is satisfied. And Jesus told you what would happen to them bundles, you know, and they're all satisfied with what they have. But in the body of Christ, we're not that way, brother. We want to know the truth. And even now, we're going to have to do some changing. We know that because there's not enough light shed on the church. I know we have a lighthouse. I know that this house is lit up with Jesus today, but he's going to come in his fullness, in his glory, and he's going to have a glorious church that's going to magnify this world, that's going to light up this whole world. They're going to see something great and special because God wants to save the world. That's what he wants to save. He loves the world, for God so loved the world that he gave. And look what he gave. He gave his only begotten son that the world could be saved. He wants to save the world. And for him to save the world, he has to have a glorious church. Hallelujah. So I want to know. We were talking last night to someone that, perfection came up. Well, you know, and really, even moving out a live soul. I know I was down in Haiti once. I was talking to a man is a good teacher in this body. And one thing he said to me, he says, Brother Goss, because I didn't believe you could move out a live soul now. There's not enough judgment. There's not enough light. I believe you have to know all the truth. And I'm not trying to come against anyone here or anything like that. I'm just trying to tell you what this. But the point that I want to make here is this. He said to me, Brother Goss, you're taking away the hope that I have. I want to tell you, when I came around this body, they took away a lot of my hope. They really did. I mean, I came in believing that if I died, I could be with Jesus. You know, and I believe you had to live righteous. I was maybe a little higher than somebody else. And thank God for that. I believe that you had to live a righteous and holy life. I wasn't sure whether the others would go, but at least I felt that I needed to live righteous in order to sit with the Lord, you know? And so then I says, they told me that you had to be perfect when I came in here. Well, I mean, I liked it all right, but then I enjoyed it and I felt, well, okay, you know. But when they told me that it was 144 literal people that was only going to be in the bride, which I didn't even know anything about the bride anyway. You know, I mean, that was a new thing to me, the bride. I mean, you know, and half of the world knows nothing about, well, most of the religious people don't know anything about a bride. Not that they're not better people. Don't lift us up so high that we are what we are by the grace of God. And when you look in the scriptures, you say, Lord, I need you so much. I've got so far to go. You know, we can get so rich and so high-minded and so feel that, you know, that we don't need anything. We're so rich, we just don't need any more doctrine. But when you find out, as you read the scriptures, my God, how much do I need to, in order to really be what Paul was really seeking for? Paul the Apostle, like somebody mentioned this morning, Brother Durham mentioned about when we were talking at the table, Paul was talking about perfection. But Paul was saying, not that I have attained, because that's such a mystery and that's such a place. And I have nothing against people that say, well, this here brother's certainly moved out a live soul, because before he died, he became so sweet and so gentle and so, and no doubt about it. If you know that you're going to die within a few months or whatever it may be, brother, you change a lot. You don't even have to be that religious to do that. I mean, no doubt about it. God can, and that's a wonderful blessing that God can deal with you that way. You see, God can deal with people differently, in so much that you come in here and you smoke like a chimney, and then God just takes it away like that, and someone else has a struggle. You mentioned fear. Well, some people have fears, and there's good fears and bad fears. Good cholesterol and bad cholesterol. All right? There's good money and bad money. The good money is the Canadian money. The bad. that wasn't canned. You know, but there's lots of good and bads. Of course, we know the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's a good one. And we know that you have to, work out your own salvation with fear. That's a good one. But we know that the love of God casts out that bad fear. Right? That fear that you shouldn't have. And don't beat yourself up because you have fear. Glory to God. We're all in fear. There's times, if you think you, well, I don't fear nothing. You know, maybe you'd land in the same place as in Luke 18, was it? That when Jesus gave that the story about the judge that didn't fear God nor man, and yet he weakened, right? But anyway, but I appreciate the fact that God works on us in the body of Christ where we're willing to change. That's the greatest place that God could put us. We're in a place, this body is, God is dealing with this body where we're getting our backs up sometimes. We don't want to change, and we'll go in and we'll even get a bad spirit about somebody that is even trying to not push, but God allows that doctrine to be put on the table more times than they think it should be. And
I'm sorry, brother.
Oh, okay.
Re-energize you here.
Oh, I want to be heard.
That's right.
That's if it's of God.
Just a commercial break here, y'all.
That's right. You can rest. Just your. Even Jesus had to rest.
Try that.
Anyway, praise God. Might get to a place where you wish I'd sit down anyway. Depends on which way I go here.
You're going to have to put it in there. I can't get it in there.
Okay. Thank you. But yeah, so he told me that this here brother, and he's a good teacher in this body, one of the elders, and he says, "Brother Gosh, you're taking away your hope, my hope, saying that I can't move out a live soul." Well, when I heard there was 100, and this brother believed in 144,000 literal people that would be a part of the bride, I says, "Well, you're taking away my hope, because I feel that, you know, I feel that I can get close. I feel that God has done a great work in my life, and I believe He's got His hand up on me. But when you talk about a little over, maybe over 100,000 has made it in the early church, and now there's 50,000 left, or 44,000 left or so to make it the balance of the bride. And some of them may even made it during the dark ages. Brother, I don't know. I have no hope. I have no hope that I can make the bride. No hope at all. But thank God, I have a revelation now." Well, actually, before I had this revelation of a resurrection, a just resurrection, I had hope that there would be more than 144,000. That gave me greater hope. But don't ask me to have any hope if I think there's only 144,000 and over 100,000 made it in the early church. Don't ask me to have, I can say I have hope, but, you know, and don't ask me to have hope just because somebody is laying on the bed and they have a great spirit, the spirit, and they can confess everything and they can have a great change, and, you know, and God uses that. Because there's one thing that God is interested in: when a man dies or when we pass away, He wants us to have a just resurrection. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He'll not leave us nor forsake us, and He knows exactly what to give us. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I know that, I can tell you, I remember a minister, and I loved him, and he was a great man, loved by many. But I know, Brother Durham, he took on a wrong spirit with me. And I won't go through it, you know. And I tried to make it right. I remember the last time I met him was in New York. And I hugged him and said, "Brother, I love you." And Brother McNabb said, I said to Brother McNabb, "Did you see that?" It was real cold. It was not he didn't hug me with love. I know he was cold, and he couldn't forgive me, and I didn't think I did anything wrong. But anyway, but you know, I tried to have unity with him, and so, but he was cold. And Brother McNabb says, "Oh, brother," shortly after he died in an accident, shortly, and you know where people put him? He's a part of the bride. Well, I think he's a wonderful man. I believe he'll get by the way, I think he'll even get a just resurrection because he's that kind of a man. You know, at least that's my hope. That's my belief. That's what I want to believe. But, you know, I know he wasn't perfect. Guaranteed. You know. And nobody is claiming that anyway. You know. So, but thank God